Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's July, and there's an out-of-control wildfire burning. It's been burning for a long time already. Not just here in Montana, not just in these United States of America, but over all the world. There is so much anger and so much hatred between nations and peoples and religious bodies and communities and neighborhoods and even between families. It's as if the whole world is on fire and nothing can put out the flames. It seems as though every day there's a new protest or war, another violent uprising of some kind, or yet another unbelievable act of terror. Everyone seems to be able to recognize that things are different than they used to be, but few can put their finger on what is really wrong. In this gospel lesson, our Lord Jesus Christ puts his finger on what's really wrong. He teaches his disciples, and by teaching them, he teaches us about the Christian love that we are to have, not just for our friends, but also for our enemies. He would have us know in this instruction that we do not really have Christian love if we are angry, if we are filled with hate for our neighbor. For whoever nurses anger and hate in his heart against his neighbor is not capable of loving God. As the opportunity presented itself here, Jesus speaks about the false righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And by means of the fifth commandment, he explains how all of the commandments are to be understood. So what is the fifth commandment? You shall not murder. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and protect him in every physical need. This commandment goes far beyond how the scribes and the Pharisees and even many Christians today understand and treat it. Many think that so long as they have not laid their hands on their neighbor and taken his life, that they are obeying what God has commanded, that they are righteous and holy. But they couldn't be more wrong. Cain was angry at his brother Abel, angry that God had accepted Abel's gift but had rejected his. Before Cain ever laid a hand on Abel, he had already murdered him in his heart. The rich man, he watched as Lazarus lay outside his gate day after day. And though the rich man had nothing wrong, had nothing against Lazarus, neither did the rich man offer him even the scraps from his table. The rich man was not actively pursuing Lazarus to take his life, but he had failed to love him. And so the rich man murdered Lazarus. Luther says in his day, "If I behold a poor person lying in distress and fail to help, protect, and give so that he may be sustained, I murder him with my own hand." Help and support him in every physical need. If you do not help and support and defend your neighbor and his life when you are able, then you have murdered him. Anger and hatred are like a dry land grass fire in Montana. They consume everyone and everything in their path. And when the conditions are right, the fire is unstoppable. But anger and hatred are not those gross public vices that our world punishes. Instead, they are among the fine, crafty sins of the devil that are not even counted as sins by the world. It's completely normal to be angry when you have been wronged or when you feel you have been wronged. It's standard practice to hate your enemies. Everyone knows that God's word says, turn the other cheek. Everyone knows that God says to pray for your enemies. But who does those things? Hatred and lying are the two colors that the devil carries as the standards of his realm. Jesus says to the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's will. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil lied to Adam and Eve. In his hatred for God, he hated God's creation too. And with full knowledge of what he was doing, he led Adam and Eve astray. He led them away from God's command, and he murdered them. He does not know love. He cannot comprehend God's mercy. All he does is starts fires of anger and hatred. He urges them on and then laughs with a horrible pleasure as the world is consumed and as lives are destroyed. Many people try to downplay the danger that anger and hatred present in this world. They try to soften Jesus' words here in Matthew as if he really didn't mean what he said, because no one can possibly keep the commandment then. They say things like, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. They try by this to appease guilty consciences by lowering the standard of holiness. But lowering the standard of holiness doesn't make me more holy. Lowering the standard doesn't make me less guilty. It doesn't change that I am a sinner, that I am a murderer. Lowering the standard only gives me a false confidence in my works, works that can never save me. But we comfort consciences in a manner much different than the world does. Not by lowering the standard of holiness to something that I can perhaps attain, not with the lie of the devil that my pathetic good works will be enough to save me on the day of judgment, but instead by letting God be God, by letting God's word speak to my sins, by acknowledging that I am a poor, miserable sinner who has been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. True comfort for weighed-down, suffering consciences comes by hearing what Jesus, the one who is perfect, the one who made no mistakes, by hearing what he has done for you. Any assurance that does not rest in Christ, that rests instead on your ability or on your works to please God, is a lie of the devil. If you come to this place, to this altar, bearing your gift, as the scripture says, thinking that by your own good works you are worthy of Christ and his gifts, then you are mistaken, and you are not well prepared to receive what is offered here. If you come into God's house expecting God's mercy for your sins, but refuse to be reconciled to the one who has wronged you, then you are deceiving yourself. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus means exactly what he says. He means that hatred is murder. He means that not defending your neighbor is the same as killing him. He means that you must love not only your friends, but also your enemies. He really does mean that heaven and earth will not pass away before an iota or a dot pass away from the law. It will not change. It cannot be softened. He means that he did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And complete and fulfill them he did. Jesus is the answer to your sin and to your lawlessness and to your unrighteousness. He is the only one who is perfect, the only one who stands righteous before God, who loved the law, who loved his God, his friends, and his enemies perfectly. While the religious cowards who thought that they were able to keep this law plotted his death in secret and then turned him over to a Gentile ruler to do their dirty work, he was praying for them. While the soldiers beat and mocked him, he prayed for their forgiveness and salvation. While you go on trying to convince yourself and others that you are righteous, that you love all people equally, that you are not a murderer, his shed blood continues to cover your sins. Unless Christ is your righteousness, you will not be saved. Wildfires are extinguished with great quantities of water, but the raging fires of anger and hatred are extinguished by a few simple drops of water connected to God's holy word in holy baptism. Because of your baptism into Christ's death and resurrection, your sins have been washed away. God has created in you a new heart that loves others as much as your Lord loves you. Jesus has fulfilled the law for you. He is your righteousness. He loves you and has forgiven your many sins. He has paid the last penny. You are free. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.